praise his name. Let's stand together. Just bow our heads as we open the service. Lord and Savior. Oh God, what a privilege. Father, we rise. Father, be able to feel that in our hearts, Lord, that draw, that call. Lord, that precious desire to serve you and to give our lives to you. Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, I know I've done nothing to deserve it, but your grace and your mercy, may I never forget that. May each and every one of us, Lord, never forget the price you paid us. Bless the service, each and every phase, Lord. A few songs you've laid on my heart, Lord. Lord, may we just settle down our spirits, our minds, and Lord, concentrate, wait on you to speak to us. We ask this, Lord, and thank you for all in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me in our Only Believe books, 333. Amen. I'd rather have Jesus.
Yes, amen.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or I'd rather be led. love Jesus than anything, saints. Praise his holy name. Page 383, this little chorus says, he's all I need. Truly, saints, he's truly all we need. He's all I need. He's all.
More time.
Let the Lord have
way in our lives. Hallelujah, each and every one. Praise his name. Brother Hamilton, come on. Thank you, Jesus. That's the blessing. Oh. Amen. It shall flow like a river. It shall fall like a rain. It shall flow like a river. It shall fall like the rain. It shall rise as the dawn in the morning o'er the plain. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill. Let's all stand then. Sing a little chorus, Only Believe. Ask our brother to come.
Oh.
Precious Lord, we truly have come tonight, Lord, together here, together with one another, Lord, underneath the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Lord, asking you to take a few words that we would speak, Lord, and renew our minds to, that, Father, in some way it would be of help, Lord, a strength, encouragement to us in this time that we're living, Lord, and we just truly lean upon you, for, Lord, in ourselves we can do nothing, and, Father, we truly see that it's only by your mercy and grace, Lord, that we're even had a desire to gather here this evening. And Father, we just want to say thank you for that. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless your word now to our hearts. And Father, just have your way in the remainder of this service, we ask. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. While you're standing for a scripture reading, we'll turn over to Romans, the 8th chapter. Read a very familiar scripture. Amen. So thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here and for the desire. And you know, as we just, it's a wonderful time to serve the Lord and to see what he's doing for us, and praying that in these last few moments of time that he will seek out those ones that he saw before there was a moon or a star and draw them to the fold wherever they may be. But here in Romans, the 8th chapter, let's just start here at the 29th verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? May the Lord bless reading his word, and you may be seated. Meditating on this and many wonderful things, but if nothing, to just stop and ponder for a moment on God's amazing grace.
Yes.
And truly predestination, and just to think about the grace God has shown to each one of us as we've gathered here today. And you know, God has drawn each one of us from different places and brought us along. But God did not take a chance, you know. And how beautiful it is if you truly will look into God's precious word that he's left here for us in the Bible. And then he sent a prophet in this last age to break that open and to reveal it. And God is a God of simplicity. He don't mince words, and you don't have to try to figure him out, and you don't have to go studying. It was written in a way that a child could understand with an open heart. And you know, oftentimes that's the reason it becomes complicated, is people don't want to have an open heart to God's word, and then they want to just kick back against it. But it's plain and simple that God predestinated a people to be conformed to his image. And you know, when you stop and think about that, his image is laying here before us, and how he sent a prophet in this day that brought many messages, characteristics, and he's identified in his characteristics. And look at the mirror of God's word, how it's been laid out in front of us to look at and to measure up by. But so many today, as we, you know, they get into such a routine that we want to make excuses for people and for things that go on in places. And sometimes it's because maybe it's someone that's close to us, or somebody we'd really like to see do something different. But nevertheless, we've always got to be honest with ourselves and truly realize that God's word means exactly what it says. And you know, God predestinated everything you see out here in nature. And there's not one piece of it out of order. There's not one piece of it that you've got to ask to live the life that was predestinated in it. It automatically bears forth and shows forth the fruit of what it was. If even from a seed, if a little seed, when it first laying in your hand, whether it be an acorn, a corn, whatever it is, it's laying out there, and you look at that and you think about it. But then as that begins to grow and truly gets into its full maturity, and you see it in any stage, you don't have to wonder, but it's truly becoming manifest of what it's bearing. You know, there's a lot of different plants that in their early stages, it's hard to tell the difference between them sometimes. And a lot of things that's in the green stage, but as it starts to grow and get into maturity, then it begins to stand out to us. And before we, let's turn over here to Romans 12. And Paul put this in there as well. And thinking about this, the first chapter, 12th chapter, first verse rather. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And for I say, through grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And you know, as Paul is writing these things, in the warning of be not conformed to this world, I'm sure in Paul's time, you know, sometimes we forget, as our brother was even bringing it this morning, these men that were human, they were like you and I. It was just a different year. It was a different time. Time doesn't, as we were saying, you think about time, it just goes on, and things change and times change, but people were people. God predestinated each one of us that we's here in a flesh body and we lived in our allotted time. And each one of us are facing the same trials, the same test. And Satan is the same devil that he's been from the beginning. And he's working through the same tactics and he tries the same problems. And he's right there all the time. So Paul, and even in his time, was truly seeing that the things of the world was meaning more to people than the things of God, even at this stage. He was seeing the same thing, that Satan is more, it was the bigger picture. There's more. It's broad. All through the scriptures, Christ even told us, broad is the way, but narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. And how, as you think about these things, and sometimes we, growing up, we read the Bible, we've heard the Bible. You know, you go through school, and a lot of times it was Bible stories and Bible studies and little examples and pictures. Sometimes we get our minds to where we truly forget to look back and to truly see the true examples that have been left for us. And to let the reality that's on these pages truly come to life in our hearts. And as we see this today, even as this being not conformed to this world. And you know, it's pretty easy to see. With the eye salve that's been granted to us by the Holy Spirit and through that prophet bringing and showing us where those two spirits lie within the church, the framework. And it's not a new message. But you've got to stop to look at what God was delivering to us. And if we would only but truly catch the reality of the things that have been brought to us, the change it will bring. Because that word is what was needed to transform us by the washing of the water of the word to prepare us to be ready to meet him. And as you think about these things and you see that going on, and we look all around us and we see all manner of things taking place. And it's just carrying on and just going forth. But I'm reminded, if you would, let's just turn over here to Matthew, the 13th chapter, and read something Jesus said. Very familiar, but just want you to think about it as we... this is Matthew 13 in the 24th verse. And he says, "Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. And the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? For whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat, root up also the wheat with them. But let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." And as you think about that, that is truly, as Brother Branham in many places in the Church Age book, he said, we are now at the fulfillment of that scripture. We are here today seeing. And he was saying that at the end, what about now? As we see the ripeness of the age on all sides. There's been a transforming and there's been a deforming, as the prophet showed us in the message, Power of Transformation. And we can truly see that taking place. You know, it used to be, years and years ago, it looked just like it was just the denominations off in the distance. We've seen it then taking place. But now we've seen the same spirit infiltrate the church, the bride message church, as we'll call it, the church we're part of. Even right here, we're not exempt. That same spirit is going throughout the land of Laodicea, trying to make people lukewarm and people to be lax and not diligent in serving the Lord, trying to steal their joy, trying to take from them what God predestinated them to be. But you know, sometimes we've got to remember that if God predestinated a seed, that seed will bring forth after its kind. And sometimes as we go through life and we may try hard, you might want someone to see this message so dear and try so hard, and they may never see it. Because if they weren't predestinated to life, there's nothing there to strike. And how it doesn't mean that we have to give up. It's not for me to say. It's not for you to say. We can only do what we can do, and that's walk in that light and to bear forth a life-living fruit to make someone hungry enough that, because Brother Branham said, sometimes they might have to hear it seven times before it catches their attention, something along those lines, he put it. But just remember, once that light strikes and it catches them, they'll never turn back from it. It'll always go forth. And it'll continue to grow, and it'll continue to put forth life. And, you know, Brother Branham, he said this in the Ephesian Church Age, and I apologize, I didn't write down the page number, but this was in the Ephesian Church Age. And if you know, if you need to, I can get you a page number if somebody needs it. But he said, he was reading here, and he says, Revelations 2:4. And just listen to what he says here. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. To understand this, you must realize that the Spirit is not speaking to the original saints of Ephesus alone. But this message is into the entire age, which lasted about 120 years. Its message then and to all generations in that span. And history keeps repeating itself. In the generations of Israel, we see revival in one generation, only to see those fires fading in the next. And in the third generation, embers may be glowing slightly, but in the fourth, there may be no vestige whatsoever of the original flame. Then God lights the fire again, and the same process is repeated. It is simply the manifestation of the truth that God has no grandchildren. Salvation is not passed on by natural birth any more than there is any truth to the apostolic succession. It isn't in the Word. You start out with truly born-again believers, and when the next generation comes along, they are no longer just plain Christians, but they have taken a denominational name and are now Baptist, Methodist, etc. That is exactly what they are, too. Yes. They are not Christians. You have to be born of the will of God and not of the will of man to be saved. But these folks are all coming together now by the will of man. And I don't say that some of them aren't right with God. Not for a minute do I say that. But the original fire has died down, and they're not the same anymore. And I want you to think about that, of where we are today. Look how many years it's been since the original message went forth, and people were on fire with a zeal for God, and to see this word made manifest, and to see the fulfillment of what was laid before them. And generations upon generations now, we're down the line. And that fire has died down to a lot of them that it wasn't revealed to them. So all they can look back into the past now and look at history and want what was there. And now they're trying to bring that back to it. But there is still a genuine born-again believer in this day, in this age, that the fires are going to burn in. And it's not going to be many. It may not be an entire church. But it's going to be in individuals that their light is going to shine and it's going to burn. And it's going to show forth that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so just now as he says that, notice what happens. As our pastor many times has been ministering here lately, you know, on the lukewarmness of the age and things. But just think, as the prophet said it like this. He said, notice, he said, they're not the same anymore. And now look at the things that have happened. The fervent desire to please God, the passion to know his word, the cry for reaching out in the Spirit, all begins to fade. And instead of that, the church begins to be on fire with the, and instead of the church being on fire with the fire of God, it has cooled off and it has become a bit formal. And this is what is happening back there to the Ephesians. They were getting a bit formal. The abandonment of to God was dying out, and people weren't too careful about what God thought about them as they began to be careful about what the world thought about them. And I want you to think about that. Nobody wants to be the oddball. They want to fit in. And, you know, you can look back and see the things that everybody quit doing when the prophet came. And as the word was being preached. And slowly you see it all just rolling back in, little by little by little. They begin to pick back up with the ball games. They begin to pick back up with all of these different things, many things. You can go throughout and you can see what spirit's controlling the thing, and I ain't going to pin it to one thing. But the Holy Spirit inside of each one will direct you into the paths of Jesus Christ and what it takes to be conformed to his image. Yes, Amen. It'll show you where to walk, where to guide you, where to go, what to say, and when not to say. He says the abandonment of God was dying out, and people weren't too careful about what God thought of them as they began to be careful about what the world thought of them. And the second generation coming on was just like Israel. They demanded a king to be like other nations. And when they did that, they rejected God. But they did it anyway. That is the history of the church. When it thinks more of conforming to the world instead of conforming to God, it isn't long until you see them stop doing the things they used to do and start doing things they wouldn't do initially. They change their manner of dress, their attitudes, and their behavior, and they get lax. And that is what Epheus means, relaxed and drifting. And how we've seen this take place, and it's truly become a reality, it's not something you have to look far to see. But God's word is being made manifest today. And that's what we've got to realize. The promises that he's laid out here are here today, just the same as they always were for the true believer. And we see the people that are getting away from it because they don't want to give up of their own self. They don't want to give up of their own life to let Jesus Christ have the full preeminence. They want to keep on hold of themselves. They want to fit in. They want to look like the rest of the world. And you know, you see it in the way they dress and their mannerisms, the things they want to do, the things they want to talk about. And Satan is just so, he just loves to get, you know, that's what I said, you can take, as Brother Branham spoke about the television, and see the things that he said, and you see that go out, and then as we've went down through time, now we're so dependent upon computers and cell phones and all of the things of the world that have came in, and with that you get all kinds of text and talk and social media and all these different things. But just look at how Satan, the billboards used to have to be out on the wall, but now it's on everything you touch, it seems like. You pick up a computer, there's automatic ads. As soon as you turn the screen on, it's there. It's always Satan leading, him trying to lead, his leadership, trying to lead us down a path away from what God has set forward for us. But and you just see it taking a hold so strong in the young people of this day, and in schools, and it's got to the point where it's just taking in leadership over people's lives, and people are just following and following. And Satan so cunningly just, you know, when you think about it and just look at how it just rolled and it rolled, and we've all had to accept it and move on with the things that have come. Not everything, but just the general terms of having to use the things of this life. But we're not abusing it. We're just using it as we're passing through. But how we should be wary of all of these things and seeing what it's doing. And you know, it's so striking to me as I watch a lot of services online, some of the online services from the churches, but I also watch some of the new Pentecostal movement that's taking place, and how you can just see the pattern of trying to pattern after someone else. They're not patterned after the genuine moving of the Holy Spirit in their life. Even though it's the moving of the genuine Holy Spirit under the anointing, the preaching, the prophet showed us these things. But how we're not to, he said, don't pattern after that, Hollywood, that glory, but get underneath the anointing of the humility of the Holy Spirit and let God work and move in our hearts and in our lives and to bring us to that place that the Lord set forth for us to be. But as we look at the ages gone by and we see the test and the trials that they went through in all the different church ages, persecuted and heads cut off and crucified upside down and all the different things that happened, and we look today at where we are and we go, boy, we got it made. We ain't going through none of that. But it's the most deceptive age there's ever been. And Satan's at his height of deception going through, and how quickly and how easily we could turn away the knocking of the Holy Spirit just because it's not an outright denying, saying I don't believe or I don't know. But look how softly he's just so subtle in his movements and what he's doing. And how we must be wary and watchful and truly follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's wonderful to always hear the good things and the promises that lay in the Bible and to preach things that are more maybe exciting to the flesh. But you know, that's God is leading by his Holy Spirit. And as we see the time approaching of where we are, you can feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit pushing, get ready. It's getting close. Amen. And you know, sometimes we, in our own mind, because many have Well, this, as they said, they've set up a chain of events just like they did when Jesus came. That's why they missed him, the prophet said. They thought it had to be this way. They thought this had to happen. They thought it had to go like that. And he came on the scene. They didn't know it. And how it is today, how quickly, if we get our minds too set to something, someone has pushed our direction or told us it's got to be this way or it's got to be that way, instead of just taking God in simplicity and saying, Lord, reveal your word to me, the changes that is coming. Brother Branham said this in The Power of Transformation. And just listen what he was saying here. He said, sometimes you have to separate from everything that's dear on earth to you to take your position that God has called you to. And I'm sure you can read between the lines of what I'm saying. Sometimes it's the very dearest person on earth. You have to shake hands with them and take your position in Christ to where God has called you. See, but what is God doing? He's transforming you from what you was, maybe a daughter or son or whatever it is, from a lovely family sometimes. He places you somewhere else because it's his way of doing it, see? By the renewing of your mind to obey the word of God, regardless of what the price is, these things don't come or didn't call. He says, our redemption wasn't a cheap thing. It was the Son of God that had to die for us, see? And it isn't the things of value. Things of value come of great price. To bring this message, it wasn't easy, see? No, I had to forsake everything that was dear to me, even my own people and everybody. But you see, the value of it is, you see, is to do the will of God and to do that, which knowing that there is something in me. When they used to say, well, they was going to put me away, thought I had lost my mind, baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ, contrary to the church and all these things, they said he is crazy. But you see, no matter what they said, there is something has to be done. And God just takes a person and sticks him in his hand and says, do this and do that. And how a price it must have been to St. Paul, taught under Gamaliel, the greatest teacher of the day, to come down, the very thing that he considered hearsay, the things that he thought that was the worst things that could have happened to the church, he comes right around and becomes partaker of it. A strange thing. And how God works in wondrous ways, in strange, odd ways, his wonders to perform. When God had spoke it, he knowed his word was a seed, and it could and it would bring forth of its kind. And now it was commanded to bring forth only of its kind, and it will always do that if man doesn't tamper with it. And so would God's church and everything else bring forth of the kind like it was at the first if the theologians didn't tamper with the word, trying to put it somewhere else or something else God has spoken. And no matter how much they can, they try to contaminate it, tamper it, and so forth, it's going to be bring forth of its kind, and there is nothing going to stop it. And you know, when God has placed that little seed down inside of your heart, and he drawed you to him, and you've started out on this road to follow him, there is nothing that can stand in the way to keep you from reaching the goal that you've been predestinated to get to. And it doesn't matter what friends, family, circumstances of life, there's something down on the inside that'll push you through that. It'll drive you through to make you come to that place where God has called you to be. Yes. And you know, as I look around and you begin to weigh and you judge it, look at fruit, and being a fruit inspector, watching lives, watching what's taking place around us, how much do we see people giving up of themselves? How much sacrifice do we see taking place for Jesus Christ? Amen. But it's become a lot of gain for the people that's around. It's become a lot of things. But God predestinated a people that this word would reproduce through. And it would be the word and the word only. Not mixed with a bunch of ideas, not mixed with a bunch of things, but it's going to be precisely what he said it would be. In the message Thursday, this was preached September 1965, he's paragraph 191. He says, if you neglect to feed the Holy Spirit the word of God, Jesus said, every word shall be by the Holy Spirit. And listen, if you try to feed it the wrong thing, if it's the genuine Holy Spirit in you, it'll know the difference. And amen, I can say that's the truth. You watch, and you may not be able to fully put your finger on it, but you just let it start. And there's just something down on the inside that's just like eating something that disagrees with you. In the natural, you can just tell. It makes you uneasy. You can just feel it if you'll just be open to the Holy Spirit. He says, it'll know the difference. Remember, the Word of God is what the Holy Spirit feeds on. It don't feed on enthusiasm. It don't feed on education. It don't feed on church going. and it don't feed on theologies. There's a lot of difference between an inspired something and a theological standpoint of it. And all of these theologians in the days of Jesus, my, they had word by word and page by page all laid out. And the Messiah had to come this way. That's exactly what it was. And then everyone missed it. You know what Jesus said when he came? He said, "You are of your father the devil, and his works you'll do." It wasn't revealed to them what the real word was. So they missed those little corners like they're missing today. If you'll belong to this, belong to this, you'll be all right. Don't you believe that? You've got to belong to Christ. And you know, if you just go back and look at when the prophet was here, the cry that was in his heart. And he would over and over echo what the Holy Spirit has been echoing here, I believe. It's got to be Christ and Christ alone. You can't stand on the church. You can't stand on your pastor. You can't stand on your neighbor. You can't stand on your wife or your husband. You're standing with Christ alone, you and him, in a personal relationship that makes this word real to you, and that you don't serve God out of fear. You're not serving God out of I have to do this, I have to do that. But no, it's a love affair in your heart. And if it's written in that word, it automatically, this body can't help itself. Just like that oak tree can't help to pick its leaves off in the fall and put them back on in the spring and grow a little bit taller and get another shoot. Underneath the presence of the Holy Spirit, that body is transforming to meet what Jesus Christ said it would be. And oh my, it's coming to a time to where that is evident fruit is now evident for all to see, for every passerby to see. You know, as you grow in Christ and as we continue, how our lives should be so sweet and how they should be so in tune with the Holy Spirit, our words seasoned with grace, and how we should be looking for what can we do to help. Where's the next place? You know, I was thinking, we had some visitors Thursday evening and just, you know, praying that something was said that'll help them. And as you think about, you know, the opportunity that we have to share what we have with someone else. And you know, I was thinking of the parable where Jesus was invited to go to Simon's house to eat with the Pharisees. And they looked at him, you know, and they said, "This man goes to eat with sinners." And I want you to think about the approach sometimes. This message has got to the point to where you got to be in the in crowd, so to speak. And there's no outreach. There's no reaching for that next lost loved one or that one that needs to come in, someone that hasn't had the opportunity. And you know, as you think about the examples that's been left in the Bible, as our brother even mentioned the little prostitute this morning, the woman at the well, and how hard it is for this human mind sometimes for us to get ourselves out of the way because we're so visual with our judgments. And I'm just using this as an example, just as we walk by and we see everybody, not everybody can come to this. It's to him who the Lord calls. And we're in the moments of time, but we realize that we can be someone that God, if there's one left somewhere that God wants to get a hold of, we can be that one. But have we truly got ourselves out of the way that person, it may not look the way we think a person that goes to church ought to look. Can we truly let down our guard enough to say, "Lord, what would you have me say? What would you have me do? Is this the time or the place?" You know, sometimes we get so focused. And today in this dark age in which we're in, there's all people in all kinds of situations and messes, deep and dark. But it doesn't matter the situation. God is still God. Amen. And if he saw that one in his mind, no matter what, it'll come. You look at even the examples that are prophet went through with the old lady in the bar, I believe it was. And the examples, you know, we look at things through human eyesight so often. And that's why we must get in tune and truly let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. Because it may not be, it's easy to look at someone that's dressed in a nice suit and looking nice and say, "That's the one, well, we invite them to church." But what about that one that just don't look like, I don't know if I want to take them with me or not. It's something we need to think about because we're coming to a time. Time is winding up. We don't know. That last one may already be in. I don't know that. But I want to be in the place. You know, I think of the little woman that was in the meeting, and she kept wanting to pray for that baby, and she knew it was going to the prayer line and knew it was going to get prayed for. But she finally followed what was in her heart, what the Holy Spirit was impressed on her, went and prayed for that baby, and that baby was healed. And how we, each one, if we would just get in tune with the Spirit, but we cannot live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church and expect that to happen in our life. And that's exactly what is happening. They can call on arms, they can call on legs, they can do whatever, but when they come off the pulpit, there's no life lived. And how it's got to come down to each one of us as individuals, truly, wherever we walk, they know that there's something different. They can see it. And by that, maybe we get in so in tune with the Holy Spirit that whatever it would be, that little peck, that little soft call, at some point in time, we would be led to do what Jesus has sent us here to do, to finish His work. Because I don't know how much more He'll call, but I know that that promise is still there to as many as the Lord our God shall call. And until the day that He takes me from this earth, I want to live my life and walk in that light to be an example to those around me, that if there be one that's thirsty, they would find what that call is to come to Jesus Christ. Amen. There's so many examples in the scriptures and in the life of that prophet while he was here. Things that were done that if we would just, you know, it's become such a, and it's had to. Men have gotten to, and we call it arguments over doctrine, but the doctrine's laying here. There's no argument to it. It's just accept it the way God delivered and move on with it. But so many creeds and ideas have rose up in the ranks that it's destroying and tearing us down. Yes. But God is looking. He said He would have a little bride. He didn't say it'd be a great big movement. He didn't say it'd be a huge church of many numbers. But all over this earth, they're going to see something that's real. And by God's grace, you might have the opportunity. And may we be living at that place. I may not be a preacher. I may not be anything but just a little old housewife, if so to speak. But what am I doing to help someone else? What are they seeing in every action that I've got before going forth? But oh my, He predestinated someone to life. He predestinated that people, they would be here. And that life would be evident and living and on display in them. And oh my, the time is here. People can look all day long and tell you that Christian's a fake, that Christian's a fake, that Christian's a fake. But can they look at you and say, there's a real genuine Christian? You know how reality should be setting in as we see where we're standing and the opportunities that we have to deal with people every day. Come in contact. You don't know who you're coming in contact with. But may we yield ourselves greater to the Holy Spirit. And it's not, as I said, it's sometimes we need to focus down to in humility to ourselves and just say, Lord, it's me that stands in the need today. Lord, let me line up with Your word. Lord, forget about everybody else around me. I know brother so-and-so, if there's really got a need, I know he needs, maybe You can see something's lacking in his life, but forget about him. And when we come in these doors or wherever we gather under the word, Lord, it's me that stands in the need today. Take me one step higher in You, Lord. And by doing that, the humility and the grace that's been given to me, maybe I'll be able to reach down and help someone else to get to that place. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Just a little exhortation. I pray something was said to help you. But as we just, it's evident. The fruits are on the trees. And how we need to be mindful that I'm not worried about what's on everybody else's tree, but I want to make sure that fruit is blossoming on my tree. And that's what I want to see. That's what I want people to be able to realize. That they might hear many things. They might see many things. But oh, can they see a life being lived? Did they see the sweetness of the Holy Spirit? Is my communication godly? Does it match what the scriptures say? Or does every other word out of my mouth, you can truly tell I'm just catchphrasing something the world has and just changed a few words to make it sound good? I'm trying to be conformed to the world and won't leave it alone. But God wants a people that's dedicated solely to Him. Amen. And every action will declare Him to this people. Amen. Pray something to stir your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. To be like Jesus. Amen. On earth I long. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be. enjoy the word tonight?
I did.
Amen. It's very good. I appreciate the word of God tonight. You know, and I was actually this week thinking about, you know, just how people perceive you, you know, and everything, our whatever business we do, whatever we meet somebody on the street, people don't know you even. That's when it's really interesting. You know, that's what you're, to me, that's what I really look forward to, is displaying Christ in a way, without saying a word, people would know you've got something. They may not know exactly what it is, but they just know there's something about you that's real and genuine. You know, and I trust that we all, every one of us, people will see something special in you. Like I say, they may not be able to explain it, but they will just know there's a presence about you that's different than other people. You know, and it shouldn't be something that shocks us. We may not at the time understand, what is it that I've done that made somebody, you know, think that or say something. You're just being normal, you know. You're just being yourself and letting Christ live. And then when they say something, and I'm sure you've been like I've been, it just seemed like people notice things and say things that, you know, what did I say? I didn't really say anything, you know. It's like a week or two ago, we went up to Columbus and we was going through a little farm display thing, and this elderly lady was there, and she was explaining about milking a cow and so forth. And they had this artificial cow there, and having the children, you know, to milk and so forth. And I was just being myself. But I walk up, and the lady looks straight at me, and she says, "You look like you're so kind." I hadn't even talked to her yet. She said, "You just look like you're so kind." I said, "Well, thank you, you know." And we talked a little bit. She asked me some questions about milking cows. Like I told her, I'd milked some cows when I was young. And we kind of talked and conversed about a little bit. But I don't know what she's saying. But, you know, but I just want people to see Christ in me. And I know you want to be the same. And we know the only way that can happen is to have the genuine Holy Ghost in you. The presence of God living in your life. And you don't have to say a word. People will know that you're real. People will know there's something different about you. But that's what we should be. Christ be seen in our life. Amen. You don't have to go around speaking things all the time. No, they just look at you. I've had that many a time. Like I told you years ago, I was at a place and this man come up to me. And he said, I've had this actually happen many times. But he come up to me and said, "You're a minister, ain't you?" I said, "Yes." And I said, "What made you say that?" And the one man I did, I said, "What made you think that or say that?" He said, "I don't know. I just looked at you and I thought you was a minister." I said, "Well, okay. But what if I'd have been probably, you know, talking about something goofy and silly and worldly and, you know, or just have the wrong kind of actions? Would they have thought that? You know? But remember, Brother Branham said in the Christ and Mr. God Revealed, every action must declare Him. Did you ever really think about that? I mean, really deep. Every action must declare Him. And look at all the opportunity of actions we have in our life. But every one of them must declare Him. Do you believe that word? I believe with all my heart. There is only one that can do that through us, and that's Christ. Because again, as I mentioned again this morning, this is a life you cannot live. Brother Graham said, you can't live it. I can't live it. But it's Him expressing Himself through us. What's people going to see? Just a zombie walking around? No. They're going to see something about you that's going to declare Christ, you see. And again, the only way you can is be filled with the Holy Ghost. Have a presence of God in your life. And that's what we're looking for, because we know that's what He's looking for. He's looking for that in His bride. Lord, let me be one of them. Amen. If there's only 10, let me be one of the 10. If there's 500, let me be one of the 500. You know? And just walk in the Spirit. Amen. Your mind on things, your heart on things, on affections centered on things above, not on things of the earth. And people will see that. They really will. They'll know you're... You might be called strange and this, that, and the other, and they can't figure it out, as I said, but they'll know something's real about you, something they just can't find everywhere. Amen. So, to be like Jesus, on earth I long to be like Him. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, it's been a wonderful day here, again, to be gathered here today with saints of like precious faith. Lord, with people with the same desire, the same goal in their heart, to Father, to reach out. And may we be that people, Lord, as our brother mentioned, that we would be a people that would continue to have that cry to reach out in the Spirit, have a passion to know Your Word, a fervent desire to please You. Lord, help us to be that people, that it will never fade, never be destroyed with the cares of life. But Lord, it'll be a constant fervent desire. Something that just don't let up. Something that's driving us on the inside. Lord, that's so precious to have that kind of desire. May that desire consume us, Lord, and continue to bring us under submission to Your Word. We pray now that You'll again just be with us, Lord, as we part from this new place. And may we stay in Your care, Lord. And may we not try to push ourselves out away from it. May we not let anything distract us away from it. But Lord, stay in the Spirit. May we, as the Scripture speaks of, walk in the Spirit. May we talk in the Spirit. Just have Your way now, Lord. Just keep us safe as we travel. And bring us all back to the next appointed time. And we thank You, Lord, for all the times You have protected us, kept us safe. Lord, we've seen it happen so many times, and we give You thanks for it. We show appreciation for it, and we just ask it to You. By Your grace, we continue to help us and be with us now. We thank You. Just want to tell You we love You with all our hearts. Just bless us with Your wonderful Word. We ask all this in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. Do you love Him?
Amen.
Love Him with all your heart, saints. Tomorrow could be the day. We don't know. Things could happen during the night. Tomorrow could be the day. Next week could be. We don't know. But be ready. Remember Brother George Stanton? Be ready. Get ready. Get ready. You see? Why? It's getting close. And I'm getting excited. I'm going to head home one of these days. Oh, what a glorious day that'll be. Amen. May God richly bless you.